following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. It's episode 298, and I'm dealing with a bit of a noisy preen. It's tube-driven. I think one of the tubes is starting to go out, so you'll forgive me if you'll hear a little bit of weird noise. It may happen, it may not. I don't know, but I've got to continue on because I've got things to do. Coming up tonight, those of you that are tuned in to radio-memphis.com around 8 p.m. Central Time, you'll hear the Booze and Blues with Tony Holiday happening in the studio, so you got that going for you. And the usual frivolities will begin to wrap up the month of October. With all that, we had our Halloween thing, that was big. That was last night, so such as it is. And as we work our way toward episode 300, that's a thing. That's the way it's going to go. And I don't know what we're doing. I really don't know. We got a few things that are happening, but we'll sort it out. Sort it out as time goes on. I'm going to get into some network television programming stuff here in just a little while to kind of hit you to how some of that works. But I wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit about how the word bar has been misappropriated. I'm having issues with this. There was a time when I would go to a bar, as anybody would, and you go and you have cocktails and perhaps a smoke, and you watch a game, and you're hanging out with your friends, and it's a dingy, dirty place, and you're there to have a good time. That's what this is about, right? And now it's all been changed, and it started with the whole beauty end of it, because then you had the nail bar. Oh, great. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And then you had I saw this thing on the way to work, a thing called Cycle Bar, which is apparently a bunch of stationary bicycles, and they're drinking fruit juices and stuff. No liquor, no ashtrays on the bikes, no draft beer. Just stop. Just leave it alone. It's not a bar. That's not how this works. It's a thing. It's a place. It's where one goes to have a large time. And I just. Then again, the whole dive bar thing, the one of the greatest oases in the world, have gone away. You just don't see them that much anymore. And I think a lot of that is the hipsters. They've gone in and they wanted to bring back the classic cocktails, which is fine and all, but they've just turned these places into something that's just not what they are, what they're supposed to be. It's sad. It really is, and it's unfortunate. And that's just, I guess, that's just one of those things that we're just going to have to get used to dealing with as time moves along. That we just don't live in that type of world or that society anymore, and it's unfortunate, but that's it's the way that goes. Such as it is, leave my word bar alone, because that's my place, man. That's where I go. Not anymore, I guess. The life goes on. I built one at home. That's all I need. I'm good there. I'm good now. I've got one there. I've got one at the main studio at Radio Memphis. We're fine. And not really technically a bar, but it turns into one, be that as it may. Right. On that, we're going to talk a little bit about network television programming. And the reason why is in regards to a particular show that has been produced here in Memphis. And it's done fairly well, I suppose. We'll talk about it here more, but I wanted to explain to you how the whole process of that works. Because television, being that it is, being what it is a little odd and a little weird, and it may be sort of freaky and not, it doesn't make much sense. We'll try and demystify some of that here in just a bit. So stick around. It's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
I seem to be having issues with the preamp in here. So if you hear this, I don't know, this, you may not even notice it. But to me, I hear it in my headphones, and it's driving me nuts. There's a tube in it, I think, that is going out. I'm going to have to get these things retubed, such as it is. These things have been around. Some of this equipment that we've built for Studio A and stuff has already done time in Studio B on the air and to a great extent of use. And it's not, we've used it beyond the use of what it's designed to do. And it's caused a bit of a consternation, a bit of a problem, if you will. And we're just trying to make it happen. You know what I mean? Some of this stuff is a little tired and needs a little love and attention, and that's what we're just going to have to do. But I have to get through this, and that's what we'll do. So thank you for your understanding, as it were. Network television is an interesting animal. There's a show that's being shot here in Memphis at the moment. They wrap it up next week. It's a show called Bluff City Law. It's on NBC. It's one of the nighttime, primetime soap opera type deals. It of course, involves a law office. Because it's formulaic. You've got lawyers. You've also got what do you got? You got police is a topic that is often seen in these shows. Hospitals, doctors, that kind of stuff. And it typically drives a pretty good listening audience. And the Bluff City Law thing has not. Unfortunately, and I'm not talking about it because it's made here in Memphis. I'm just a little closer to it because I typically don't even watch these types of shows. But I will admit, I've been watching Bluff City Law here of late because I've wanted to see what the show was about and how it's being, you know, put out there, how it's being done. And of course, it features our city and we want to see what's going on. And, you know, it's 4 weeks into the thing. They've ordered, I think, 10 episodes total, I think. And then there was they'd ordered four more scripts written because of an impending writer's strike next year, which could impact it. And now there's talk that the show's probably going to get canceled because the numbers aren't too good. It runs at Monday night, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. And which is not a bad night for television if for an established show. But, you know, let's just say you've created a show and you want to get it out there and a network has agreed to pick it up. And when I'm talking about networks, too, let's be perfectly clear here. We're talking about the alphabets, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CW, those, the ones that are out there available over the air that you would pick up on an antenna if you don't have the cable thing. And when you have that and you get a show that's in there, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some, they really throw the book at you and make it really difficult for you. Of course, they go through an enormous amount of scrutiny when they're writing it, and then they're trying to choose locations and all of that. And once it passes the paper test, if you will, where it looks good on paper and things are going to go pretty well with it, then you got to go into the whole idea of production. And a lot of money is being thrown at this sort of thing. You know, you don't just half-ass this kind of deal. You got to buy a crew. You got to get equipment. You got to have all of this stuff, and you got to have it in place and be ready to go with the show. And you got to hope for the best. And when this happens, you're lucky to get some time on primetime television to air the thing, and then you got to hope that an audience is going to like it. And there's promotion and all that stuff that goes with it. And one of the issues that they do to you, which is unfortunate, is they throw you right to the wolves. They're just right out of the chute. They put you on one of the more difficult nights, Mondays being one of those nights. And like I mentioned, for a lot of shows, Mondays do pretty good because these are established shows already. You see what I'm saying? So they stick you against things like, I don't know, Monday Night Football. They stick you with other shows that you're going to have to deal with. That's just how this is. It's one of those things. And if you can overcome that, they might move you to another night. Bluff City Law is not doing so well. Who knows what the problem is? It could be the competition that's going on out there, and it's only drawing a smaller sect of numbers that they were hoping to get. As happens, that's just, you know, news shows are tough to catch on, even though they are somewhat formulaic. And it's, you know, like I mentioned, it's a fairly well done show. It's well shot. It's well edited. It's actually pretty well written and acted well. It's got Jimmy Smits in it. This new girl, Caitlin McGee, she's not really new. She's been in a few other things, but it's good. It's not a bad program, but it's not doing that well. It's not setting a lot of people's skirts on fire. Who knows why this is? It could be a number of reasons for that, because maybe there's all sorts of choices out there. And network television has been a problem because, you know, there's so many choices. You can go anywhere to get a lot of these types of shows. You everybody's got Netflix and Hulu and or they got access to it, and to Amazon and all of that stuff that is out there. HBO, you know, you name one and you're already beating a network television type of a setup. So there's this whole thing about keeping this stuff sort of relevant. I used to think that perhaps it was because other shows like on cable or on streaming platforms could get away with a lot more, you know, like nudity or perhaps language issues and things like that. But that's not necessarily the case. It's still content driven. Everything is still content driven. But I think there's a stigma that's been attached to a lot of network shows that just don't hold up like they used to, you know. And in a way, it's sort of a reflection of what we've seen with FM radio. Because along comes the internet and there's all the streaming audio, then why should we deal with, you know, the over the air stuff? Because it's probably not that good. And to be honest with you, we've seen that happen. We've talked about it on this program a ton of times. So why is it that shows have such a difficult time on network television? Well, and I can tell you what I think is happening. More and more shows that are being greenlit for network shows are these stupid reality type of shows that tend to turn all that stuff into a wasteland. Yeah, they get a lot of viewers. The American Idol type of shows, the America's Got Talent type thing, The Voice, The Masked Singer, all of that. They do well amongst the younger demographic, the 18 to 34s. And I think with Bluff City Law, they were trying that angle. But at the same time, they're reaching into that 25-54 wallet as well. So they may be overreaching, perhaps, but it doesn't. Like I said, it's a fine show. So why is it not doing well? And it could be a number of these factors. Network people, if they really wanted to, since they're investing so much money into this sort of thing, you would think that they would do something like, I don't know, perhaps move it to another time. They have not canceled the show. Don't get me wrong here. They have not canceled it, and it could be on the block. But being NBC being what they are, they are talking about releasing their own streaming service, as they, you know, CBS is doing and Disney has done and all of this other stuff. And perhaps a show like that would have a life over there because that's where the audiences are going. You have to put your shows where audiences are. I'll tell you this, if I were to launch a show right now, I don't care what it would be, a drama or a comedy or something silly, I would actually run it through something like YouTube before I would stick it with a network type of thing. And there's a lot of positives for that. I don't really necessarily want to get into too much of that because it can get kind of technical. But for the bottom line, you're talking about a facility like, say, YouTube, where your quality control is really kind of up to you. If you want to go ahead and upload a show that looks like crap, that's on you. You know, as long as you have the content, you should be fine, right? That's really kind of how that works. Having said that, the quality control through network has been storied and stayed and traditional for many, many, many years. And they still abide by those models. Granted, there's still a lot of production and shows that come out of the networks that are still pretty decent, I suppose. I don't watch that much of that type of stuff. You know, I'm more of a late night guy anyway when it comes to TV. But there again, as I've mentioned before, I have a billion possibilities of things that I want to watch. And because of that, networks are still trying to compete with this sort of thing. So what do they do? Are they going to still hold on to these models of these shows, which is, I guess, there's a home for it. There's an audience for this, clearly, because it did well in testing. And there are people here in town that talk about how fine the show is. I'm sitting here talking about how nice it is as well. It's a pretty good show. It's not bad. But there is this, okay, so how do we do it in today's day and age? What can we do? It's a viable question. I don't have those answers. I think looking at other ways to release it, because, you know, look, we're in a transitional phase right now, especially in television. We're seeing it in radio. It's been happening. It's a thing that's going on. You have options. Programmers know this. So you have to find a way to make yourself sort of stand out. But the problem is that the traditional methods are still there. And there's the old heads, if you will, that say, well, you can have my FM radio when you pry it out of my dead cold hands. Those guys. And, you know, network television is sort of the same thing because it's been a source of comfort and a thing for people to know that they can always go to those networks and get the same thing each and every time. Does that create a new audience? Not necessarily. Are they trying to woo people from some of the streaming services back over to the networks? You bet they are, because everybody's competing for the same pair of eyes and ears as everybody else is. That's the issue. So how far do you take this? What's the limit that you go? where do you pull the plug? Where do you promote? Where do you move it to? That's still a thing. When you're navigating the waters of network television, you're fighting this really weird fight. And you're having to deal with a lot of suits that are sitting there that are probably these are probably older cats that are trying to make these decisions, saying, well, we know what works and we know what doesn't. To a certain extent, they're correct that they do get it. They've been around the block. They're not considering what's happening on the other end of the spectrum either. You know, they're not talking about what's happening in, you know, things like this new service called Pluto. I don't know if you haven't seen that. I mean, that's an interesting deal. I think I've talked about it before. Pluto.tv. It's a cable service that's free.
What?
It streams. It's entirely stream. I call it a cable service because it's one site that has literally hundreds of channels. And granted, they're not running, you know, earth-shattering programming, and there's really nothing new that's happening there. It's just different stuff. And like their movie channels or movies filled with, well, they run commercials, which is how they pay for it, which is fine. It's better than, you know, paying for a subscription service. But it's like, you know, hokey movies that didn't do too well. You know, films like Evolution. Remember that one? David Duchovny. Fairly clever, watchable film. I mean, there's some stuff that's there that's watchable, but it's not, you know, great. It's not bad. They don't have any new stuff because they don't have the budget for it. Because you've got people like Netflix that's sucking up the money. And they're taking loans out to create more programming, you know, for this sort of thing. But the resources that the Alphabet networks have is pretty deep. You know, think about it. They have a lot of money. Bluff City Law is not a cheap show to produce. And when you look at it, there's a lot of quality to it. And they do, like I said, they do a fine job of putting this thing together. Shooting it in Memphis, I mean, you would think there's a bias, you know, from me from it. But that was sort of the thing for me to get me to watch it, too, because I like seeing my city. I like seeing our landmarks. I like to see some of the things that people would normally see, those that live here. And we've been fortunate enough to have the crew hanging around here. And I've met a couple of the members of the crew of you know, the production guys. They were shooting not far from where this studio is. And I'm out walking the dog, and you know, they're out there working and they're doing their thing, and we'll run into them and say, hey, what's going on? You know, I've seen the actors at a distance, no big deal. They're just doing what they do. They're just working stiffs like the rest of us. And you know, they brought in a large economy. I think by some estimates, just the city alone benefited by like some $35 million just to have them in town, and that could be from the shooting licenses that they have to get, the permits, you know, that kind of thing, the rent that they're spending on location, certainly equipment and gear and things that may happen to be here locally. The food trucks have loved it because it's just automatic craft service right there. They just get to call in a couple of trucks and boom, there it is. There's instant food there at the set. And of course there's a never ending supply of extras. And they're paid extras here. They get, I think it's $100 a day to work for them. And it's been great having them here. And like I said, the show is okay. So the impact on the economy is certainly a good thing. And it's something to consider because it's not Hollywood. It's not Atlanta. It's not Vancouver, these are places where they shoot a lot of this stuff. New Orleans was another one. It's good to see these productions coming back to Memphis because Memphis is an easy place to shoot. Everything is close enough to get things done, you know, and you don't have to stray too far. If there's something that you need that's not available, it can be got. It can be had. It could be happening. So it's not, you know, it's not so much that. It's, you know, the cost of production can be mitigated by shooting on various locations of where the show perhaps is set. There was a show, and the name of it escapes me because it wasn't that good at all. And it was a cop drama thing, and it was set in Memphis. And it didn't last long because, and I'll tell you why, they shot all of the exteriors here, but they shot all of the internal set stuff down in New Orleans. And even though the show was set here, the writers didn't think about Memphis per se, so the character of the city wasn't right, and it didn't play well at all, and it was just awful. I felt bad because for everybody involved in it, it was just not right. And yet this show seems to have it correct. They understand the whole Memphis vibe. There's language in it that is very Memphis. There's a lot of the culture of this area that is in this show, and they captured it correctly and are able to distill it in a way to a general audience of somebody that's watching up in, I don't know, in Baltimore would understand what this city is like. it's not a bad place. And the show certainly is not showing it into a negative light at all. So it's not that. It's not the writing. Certainly not the acting, because they've got a top-notch crew of actors that are doing a great job with this thing. It's beautifully lit and made well. So it's none of that. So why is a show that has so formulaic not doing well? And I think it's because of a couple of things. And I think it falls definitely onto the squares of the network. The network's not promoting it. I know they run their series of promos and whatnot, but they're not really pushing it. They're not really shoving it, unless they're doing it in other markets outside of this area, because they probably already know that Memphians are going to see this thing. But still, I look through the trade magazines, and I see ads for other shows, but I don't see that one. Maybe it's DOA. I don't know. Maybe they decided not to invest in any more promotion for it, which is dumb. Like I said, it checks all the boxes. And also, they've put it on probably the worst night that you could run it, which is a Monday night, to debut a brand new show on a Monday night at 9 p.m. Central Time. You know, move it over to, like, you know, give it a good fighting chance. Get it away from sports. Get it away from other shows that are kind of like it. That's a thing. You know, if there's another law drama that's running opposite the thing, that could be a problem. I mean, we are overrun with a lot of those types of shows, but they could find some holes in the schedule to put something where something like it is not, and it would do a lot better. Run it on a Wednesday night. Run it on a Thursday is the must-see TV. You know, NBC still won't let that go because of the success that they had back in the 80s and 90s with that business. But they could move it, you know, into there, or they could push a show around it, maybe one on the way out. You know, because you only have so much time to run your network programming, right? Because networks, they have their morning stuff that they provide the affiliates. You know, all the morning stuff like the Today Show or whatever you want to call it, Good Morning America, all that stuff is all happening in the morning. And then you got some local stuff there for your news. And then your midday stuff is your daytime programming. They have open holes for syndication. Used to be soap operas would come down the network chain that way, but those aren't doing as well as they used to because people just don't care, which is unfortunate because let me tell you something. General Hospital was really one of the best shows going. I'm telling you right now. Just Young and Restless, that's another one. Oh, my Lord. My stories. Those were the days. Any rate, I digress. They would provide you that, and there was a little bit of time for your evening, your early evening news, you know, your 5 o'clock news, and then there was the network news, and there was another local news, and then from there would be your game show stuff, you know, your Wheel of Fortune, your Jeopardies and stuff like that. And then it was off to primetime television. So from 7 p.m. local time all the way to your local news, your late local news, that all belonged to the network. And what you got, if you ran the station, the local stations, you got a cut of the advertisement money because they cut some time in for local ads. That's just how that works. And then you would have your late news. Then after that, it would be your late night talk show, which was once again network. And then there was a couple of other things that might carry you through to about midnight. And then after that, you filled it however you wanted to. It could be some hokey rerun. It could be whatever you wanted to do. Because network really didn't provide much overnight, if anything. Excuse me. So with all of that, you have a finite amount of time. So let's take a look at the primetime slot, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. local time. Or 11, depending on where you are. And when you have that, you are up against a lot of other networks that are doing exactly the same thing. They are taking the shows that they have put into development as their own thing, right? And now, since one type of show does well, everybody's going to copy it, which is what they do, right? Is it right? Is it wrong? It's how it works. Which one's better? You put two law shows against each other, which one's going to be better? Which one's going to be more fun to watch? Quite frankly, I would put my money on Bluff City Law. If given a little bit more of a chance, and they are giving it a pretty good chance. To be fair, it's not three episodes in and it's done. I've seen four episodes of it. So far, I like it. It seems to be okay. There was one in there that was kind of weak, but it was okay. I mean, it was still watchable. I liked it. I've kind of gotten into the story that's gone with it. That's what they want. They hold you through it. It's DVRable. You can watch it later. You can do all you do. They know this. But Monday is a tough time to do that. It really is. I think if they want to give it a fighting chance and if they would give it a second season, they should move it to a different time. They are a different, maybe not a time, but a different day. They need to find a day and start shuffling some shit around and make it work if they want to invest that kind of money, because these shows, like I said, are not cheap. These are several hundred thousand dollars per episode to shoot. Okay, it's a lot of money that goes into them. Maybe even more than that. It depends on what's going on. And as I mentioned, the show has not been canceled. So they have not pulled the plug on it as of yet. They haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. They haven't put a bullet in it. And perhaps they won't. I think they probably will. They've ordered those four extra scripts because they were afraid of a writer's strike. And they will have, if case the show does pick up toward the end of its run, which it could, it might find itself in a position where they can go into a second, a limited production to see how it does in the second season. And then from there, it could kickstart and keep going. Because once it gets past that first season, those are usually pretty rocky. At least the first half of it is fairly rocky. And we're about that point with Bluff City Law. If we can get past that a little bit and it's doing okay and the numbers pick up some, then it can get its own wings and then take off on its own. That's a lot of times that's how that works. It used to be in radio, a drive time type show would take about 18 months to really get its legs. In a way, that's what happened with Stephen Colbert and the Late Show on CBS. When Letterman went off the air, Colbert came on. Everybody immediately was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. I really don't know. They've just extended him now. They gave him a 3-year additional contract, of which he signed on to. So congrats. It's working. He came through. He's now the top dog on late night television. He's beaten The Tonight Show. He's beaten Jimmy Kimmel. He's doing a good job over there. You may not like him for whatever reason, but it doesn't matter because it's doing well. There's a lot of people watching it, and they know this. So if you give it enough time, a lot of times these shows will pick up. Do they think of these type of dramas as throwaway? You bet they do, because there's another one right around the corner. And that's kind of unfortunate because there's nothing new that comes out. Look at Hollywood. Look what we're seeing coming out in out of the major studios. There's nothing worth a damn in that stuff. And it's unfortunate because aren't there some good ideas that need to be shot and put on film instead of they're rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean. You know this? With a whole new crew, a whole new cast. Why are they doing this? Pirate movies tend to do pretty well. Black Sails was on Stars. It did fine. I think it was Stars. Anyway, it was on one of the pay things. And it did okay. They ran out of story, but that's what happens. Pirates of the Caribbean getting a reboot? Why? Because they're running out of ideas? No, they're just too lazy. That's all it is. It's a matter of being lazy. Network television is the same thing. We use a running gag in radio is that there hasn't been original thought in this business in 30 years. And it seems to be that way now. I mean, you look at, here's a prime example. America's Got Talent. It's a talent show, right? It was already done years and years and years ago. Back in the 70s, Chuck Barris had a show called The Gong Show. I know that just brought a lot of smiles to a lot of faces by me just mentioning that, because if you knew what I was talking about, you knew how fun that show was. It was fantastic, and it was hokey, and it was silly and stupid. This show, America's Got Talent, is from that line, but at the same time, it's trying to take itself a little too seriously. And they were hoping the audience would do the same. Not necessarily the case. I've seen it. I'm not a fan. It's not my thing. If it was something more like The Gong Show was, it would be great. I mean, they had judges. It was a gong show because it had a gong. And if somebody didn't like the act, they could hit the gong and stop it. They do the same thing with America's Got Talent. Everybody's got a buzzer in front of them. If they don't like it, they hit the buzzer and it's done. It's all the same. It has not changed. There has not been this original thought. Are we out of ideas? You would think, but I don't think we are. I think they're just not tapping into the right sources or into the right pools. Because another such idea about all of this were some of these network guys that were looking at things like what was happening on YouTube with the YouTubers and the influencers and stuff like that. Because there was this thought that perhaps those guys who had millions upon millions of views, boy, howdy, wouldn't a network, what would they do for that kind of stuff? Where would they get that? Where would they get that kind of resource? So they tap into one of those cats and they throw them into network television land. And what happens? They fold like a house of cards because they don't know how to handle it. It's different. It's vastly different. But that's not to say you can't take those ideas that they're using on social media or YouTube and create original programming based off of an idea that may have occurred from there. A friend of mine developed a show, spent a lot of money on a pilot involving puppets, and it was a Muppet type of thing, and it was good. It was adult driven. It wasn't meant for the children at all. It was very funny. It was, a lot of it was improvisational, and it was just hilarious. And it's been passed up by everybody because they've all said the same thing. We're not doing puppets. We're not doing this. That's not where the world is going. What's happening now? There's a puppet show everywhere you go. They're everywhere. And there's new shows in development involving this whole thing. I just saw one that came up today. It did. And it's like, really? Come on. They take these ideas and they go, oh, we like that, but we'll just twist it our own way. And then it sucks, and then nobody watches it, and then they wonder why. And then they turn around when somebody comes up with a really interesting, real creative idea. Nobody will touch it. Why? I don't know. Perhaps it's laziness. But there you go. That's kind of what it is, and that's how it works. And to all of those, if there's anybody with the cast and crew of Bluff City Law, thank you for coming to Memphis. We appreciate you being here. We know you're coming. You're going home for the holidays, and perhaps you'll be back to shoot more. We certainly hope so. And maybe we'll see you back on the air. Second season, maybe, hopefully. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Ah, yes, the sporting life such as it is. You know, we're in that time of year here. We're programming. You know, you got football in full swing. Baseball just wrapped up with the World Series. Congratulations to the winners on that deal. Which was really like one of the lowest because there wasn't any of the big teams that were in it. And you got hockey and you got basketball that's coming up. And then before long, it's all the college stuff. And man, we are just living it big and living it large. So why is it that it's so goddamn hard to watch it unless you have cable or satellite television? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Broadcast rights. Broadcast rights are not cheap. You pay by the game. That somebody who owns the game itself is making an ass ton of money over the whole thing. And guess what? You're the one left short holding the bag on this deal because, you know, you're not the one paying for it. You certainly can't get it on demand because, my God, that would be just awful.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
There you go. You heard what's coming up next time on the program. And such as it is, as we march our way straight on into the episode that would be 300, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. who'd have thought 300 weeks of this whole show? That's I don't know if it's a monument or is it a monument to an achievement or is it a monument to stupidity? I don't know. I've been beating my head for 300 weeks doing this or what? I don't know. It's been good for me. I can tell you that. And I tell you what else is interesting is going back in time and going back and listening to some of the early days of this show. Boy, howdy did this thing change. Still does, too. It's in constant evolution. And change being what it is, you know, Lord knows we've seen a ton of it. You know, we were talking earlier about how there's just no real, it doesn't seem like there's any real creativity coming out of Hollywood anymore. And I tell you, all the hype and the hullabaloo about the new Star Wars film, the last one, Episode 9, this is the gonna be, they're not going to do any more out of it, at least not in that universe. There's still going to be Star Wars types films, but the main canon of story, the episode numbers are ending it at 9. Frankly, it ended at 6. 7 and 8 was brutal. 7 was. I didn't see all of 8, but I saw enough of it to realize it wasn't my thing. And the unpopular thought leads me straight into this, that I think Episode 9 is just not going to be any better than anything we've ever talked about before. Because, you know, if you'll notice, the merchandising for Star Wars from Disney and Lucasfilm, you know what it all is? It's all the older characters. It really is. And by the way, there's horses in this. I have problems with that. There's horses in space. It was a running joke for a while that Star Wars was described as really nothing more than a gigantic horse opera in space. They didn't mean to take it seriously. But then again, it's J.J. Abrams. Never been a fan of his stuff. Never. And there's nothing against the guy personally. He's probably a pretty just decent human being. I just don't like his. I don't like his what he's done. He butchered Star Trek and he effed up Star Wars. I mean, come on. I know they're trying, but they'll sell an ass load of tickets because it's got Disney behind it. And you know, if you got the Disney behind you, you got the big D behind you. If you got the big D behind you, then you got a whole weekend set. If you got Disney behind you, then you know you're going to do pretty well, I guess. Except for Joker. How about that? That's been a monster film. Quite well done. Nevertheless, that's it. I'm done. That's all I got for this time out. Thank you for streaming, downloading, and tuning in, or whatever it is that you do to get this thing. We appreciate you doing it. So until next time, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and don't stop shooting each other, okay? See you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.